You're listening to episode 124 of the Mad Chatters Podcast, February 8th, 2017.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. I'm Derek, and I'm joined today by my fellow chatters, Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
Hey!
I thought a howdy hey was coming.
Yeah, I was just kind of winging it there.
I liked it. So, it's been a big week here for the Mad Chatters. Matthew and I went to Walt Disney World for kind of an extended weekend, mostly for Festival of the Arts.
And I went to Target.
Yes!
Yay!
I do, of course, want to spend the majority of our time talking about the festival. But before we get to that, I'm just going to fill in you guys on just a few highlights for my trip, new things I tried, things like that. I did go to Hollywood Studios very briefly, just for a couple hours. I mean, that's really all you can spend in that
park. I was going to say, why?
Okay, really the sole reason I went... Okay, two reasons. One, I wanted to meet Moana just so I could say I met her, and she's there now, so I did that. And then I also, first thing, went to Starbucks to see the new You Are Here mug. Because I tweeted about this a while ago, but... The You Are Here mug from the Starbucks in Hollywood Studios originally had the Earful Tower on it, which, as we know, is now gone. So in its place, they've put Mickey, Sorcerer Mickey, and giant dragon form Maleficent from Fantasmic. And it's like mid-scene from Fantasmic, like an action shot. And that was already my favorite of the six mugs, and now... It's just even better than it was before. I love it. I think this is the first of the six mugs to have a character on it.
I think so. And that's interesting that's your favorite. I like the old style, too. I really like the new style. I think it looks really great. But I... interesting that it's your favorite.
What's your favorite?
I love the DCA one.
Yeah.
I love the Magic Kingdom one. And I love the Disneyland one.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't mention Animal Kingdom, because I think that's my least favorite, even though I love Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I like how it's green on the inside.
Yeah, I think I like the Hollywood Studios, and this will not surprise you, because it's primary colors. Like, it's red, yellow, blue.
You're such a weirdo.
I know, but okay. I mean, like, it's like the three best colors, red, yellow, blue, in my opinion. So I think that's why I like it. But now that it has Mickey on it, gosh, it looks so good. So now I have two Hollywood Studios. I have the antique retro version. And then the brand new version. So if you collect mugs like the three of us do, we really do. Like, we have a problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah, it's like our go-to souvenir. Anyway.
And I love how you referenced the mug that was out a year ago as retro already, but okay.
That thing's going on eBay. $100. Anyway. So that's why I did it at Hollywood Studios. Okay, I did ride Rock and Roller Coaster with Aaron, and we were in the queue. And my favorite was when... The older gentleman in front of us leaned to, I think his daughter maybe, and said, "Who are these guys?"
Wow, you really are old, sir.
I know. Well, it's first of all, I mean, Steven Tyler.
I mean, he was there when Moses crossed the Red Sea. Exactly. I mean, he's old.
Exactly. But also, like, their name is splattered across the attraction. I mean,
who is this Aerosmith?
Yeah, so we did that. I mean, that was pretty much all I did in Hollywood Studios. You know, we walked around a bit. And then the majority of my time was spent at Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So Magic Kingdom has a ton of scrims up right now. Like, the entire train station is a fake scrim that makes it look like the train station. And I was surprised at how long the line was of people trying to get a picture in front of it. Because I'm like... You guys, that's just a fake background right now. I mean, I wouldn't even...
Yeah. But what about with, like, the flowers? Were the flowers out there still?
The Mickey flowers were there, yes.
Okay, so you could, like, Photoshop in the actual train shop if you were really dedicated.
I was going to say, yeah. So there was that. And then you walk under the bridge, under the train, and then the entire left side, the Emporium, is one big scrim. In fact, it kind of reminded me of New York City. You know how almost every street you walk under a big construction tunnel, basically? The sidewalk is
yes.
Under. That's what it was all around Emporium. So it was very strange, like these tight walkways where you couldn't even see the hub, or you couldn't even see the flagpole.
Yeah, I guess it's considered like the off season, so they're doing a lot of the upkeep.
Sure, and I'm glad they do it this time of year and not when most of the people are there. But it was just interesting to see all the construction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't bother me by any means. I was just surprised, I guess. The weather, wonderful. Gosh, it was beautiful. Because the three of us went to Universal in February. And I was cold.
And it was cold, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was very cold. But this, like, between 1 and 3, I was getting very, very warm. But then the rest of the day was perfect. So, anyway, so at the beginning of this year, we talked about some New Year's resolutions for the three of us. And one of mine was to, before the year's over, do everything at Magic Kingdom I've never done before. And I knocked out a lot of my list. I planned to do 2. That way I could kind of spread it out. And then I ended up doing all but 1.
Oh, wow.
So I did Tom Sawyer Island, the Carousel, Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, and the very first attraction I rode when I got there, the Tomorrowland Speedway. Oh, and I saw the brand new Welcome Show, which is on the castle stage.
Oh, is it really on the castle stage? Interesting. I guess with the train station being down, they can't do it there.
No, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, they permanently moved it to the stage.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I missed that. I should really listen.
Yeah. And I think it's a new show as well. I mean, like I said, I've never seen the old one, so I don't know. But it made more sense to me because the hub was packed. And my first thought was, how did all these people used to fit in front of the train station?
Well, there's more. I mean, it was on the train station by the ticket side, not on the other side. And so it wasn't actually in the hub.
Yeah, that's what I mean. How is there room between security and the train station to fit? Because the hub, which is ginormous, was full of people.
Yeah, there's more space over there, what you think.
Okay.
And you got to figure they're elevated, too. So you could even be way back by the monorail tracks and still see it.
That's true. Anyway, it was a great show. I enjoyed it. I got to say, Tomorrowland Speedway, while I would 100% support the demolition of it, it wasn't as bad as I thought.
It's just an eyesore and a nose sore, and it's just obnoxious.
And an ear sore, like it's so loud.
I did enjoy would you snap or something on there, and you're like, I'm on it. Oh, this person needs to go, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I was recording and kind of zooming, and all of a sudden I look up and the girl in front of me was completely stopped on the tracks. But that's
yeah,
all right.
And if the person in front of you stops, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You're just kind of stuck there.
It is strange. But the cars go faster than I expected. It's a little bit longer than I expected. And I think kids really would enjoy that. But it's past its time. Like, that's such an old-fashioned concept.
And it just takes up so much real estate. Like, that's a big chunk of the park.
It really is. And the facade is, I mean, just very NASCAR. Like, there's nothing magical about it.
Well, it depends on if you're a NASCAR fan, I guess.
That's true. Fair enough. But my favorite of all of them was Tom Sawyer Island, by far. It was a gorgeous day to walk around. I didn't get hot or anything riding the raft, which, by the way, the person on the raft, I think I tweeted this, one of the women, like, nudged the guy controlling the raft and was like, excuse me, sir, is this called a barge? And he, like, so flat-toned, so droll, was like, yeah. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's a raft.
Well, when you have to work the rafts, you don't really have time for shenanigans. So
he's like, whatever I can say to show you up.
Totally. But, you know, I still have never done Tom Sawyer Island, so maybe my next trip I should.
Wait, for real?
Over there. Yeah, never have.
Oh, that's crazy because I've always felt so stupid every time I say that. Thanks for having my back.
Oh, no problem. I've never done... Let's see, I've never done Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. I have done Tomorrowland Speedway. And what was the other thing you did? Though, the morning show, I've done that. Yeah.
The carousel.
Oh, and carousel, I did that. Yeah, I rode carousel. The only time I've ridden carousel was with my grandma when I took her and my grandpa that time. So carousel will always have a special place in my heart because of that.
Yeah. Well, the one I still have left are the Main Street vehicles. Have you done those?
No, actually, I have not.
Mm. We did it at Disneyland,
Disneyland, yeah.
Yeah, but not Disney World. Yeah, but Tom Sawyer Island, gosh, the caves were so cool. They were dark. I was like, I'm going to trip over something. But I loved those. I loved the bridges. I loved the great views of Big Thunder Mountain. I was really impressed, and I kind of would like to go back to Tom Sawyer Island, so It was very surprising.
Is it Tom Sawyer or Sawyer?
Well, I have a nephew named Sawyer, not Sawyer. But, I don't know. Anyway, but let's get to the festival, because this is something Matt and I got to experience together. Do you have any highlights that you would like to mention?
Me personally?
Well, not Jeremy. No offense.
Thanks. Rub it in.
I enjoyed the things that I was able to see in kind of our little whirlwind tour around World Showcase. You know, whether it was just the company or just being World Showcase and walking around, I really did enjoy that stupid little Figment scavenger hunt we did. If not just seeing how they would incorporate him into the paintings. I mean, it was lame, don't get me wrong, but maybe it was just the company and walking around with you guys and talking, but I kind of like that. I definitely say that one of the only food items I tried was the trio of savory croissant donuts, and that was good. I enjoyed all of those.
They looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the point of this festival.
You said you got a whiff of, there was the one that was like a chicken mousse, which was very chicken salad-y, except not as chunky. It was very smooth. And then there was one was just a herb cream cheese, and then one with tuna, like ahi sushi-style tuna, not like cooked, not like bumblebee canned tuna or anything. But you still said it smelled. I guess you got a whiff of it and thought it smelled like tuna. I don't know what you smelled.
It was a very fishy smell.
You're smelling the guy. Maybe you're smelling the lady next to us.
No. It was definitely that croissant donut. And I was I drinking something? Maybe I was drinking water at the time. Because I got a whiff of that, and like all of a sudden I could taste it in my water.
Yeah, but it didn't taste fishy.
Okay, well maybe so. I mean, you really enjoyed it.
Maybe you smelled the chicken mousse. I think, if anything, that kind of chicken salad, I don't know. I don't know what you smelled, but more power to you. They were good. I told Derek this while I was eating them. I thought they could have probably put it on just a base, like a base of one of those, and not have the top on it. I felt like the top was just too much. And when you bit into the two, when you bit into any of them, the filling would kind of come out of the hole on the top, and it wasn't very appealing to the eye.
Yeah.
Looked like the donut was like pooping out the top.
That's what I smell.
So I just got a fork and took it off the top, but Derek was like, that looks gross. But they were delicious. I thought they were good. That was apparently the highlight, because when I looked in the trash can, the only plates that were in there were these long rectangular plates they were using for that.
Yeah. Speaking of food, I tried two things. I tried the almond, help me out, frangipan.
Good job. I think that's right.
Okay. Cake. So it was... That's what it's called. So it was layered, and it kind of had like a Mary Blair style. Well, kind of like her. Like, it was very colorful, and there were blocks, like colored blocks.
Cubist.
There you go. Cubist. And it had layered layers of raspberry jam, like holding the layers of cake together.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah. And then the border was just chocolate ganache, I think. Mm-hmm. It was delicious. The three of us who ordered it were all like, wow, that's better than I thought it would be. It was very dense and yet very moist, and the sweet fruit taste was so good. The only thing is, I probably could have done without the chocolate. I know chocolate and fruit, like, that's a big thing. And it did complement each other well, but for me, I'm just not a fan of just straight chocolate. Like, I usually want to cut it with something. And that's all it was around that border was chocolate, but... I would definitely get that again. In fact, I wish that would just become a staple item somewhere in World Showcase. And then the second thing I got was the popped art.
Mm.
P-O-P apostrophe T art. And so it was a sugar cookie filled with chocolate hazelnut filling. And then it had basically icing on top. And it was good. It was very sweet. But it tasted exactly like those three ingredients I just said. Like
Nutella.
Yeah, like Nutella. And the Nutella layer was very, very thin. All I tasted was the cookie and the frosting. So you know what at Walmart or your local grocery store, you can, for $3, get that big old plastic case of the sugar cookies that are caked in icing and sprinkles?
Yes.
That's kind of what it tasted like, to be honest.
Except now, it was $6 or $5. What was it?
Four. It was $4, yeah.
Okay, not too bad.
Yeah, but for one. So anyway, both were good, but the frangipane I would 100% get again today if I could. Anyway, so you mentioned the scavenger hunt. So you pay, it was $7, something like that. We got the map and the stickers. And for each country, there is a picture that you're supposed to find painted by an artist from that country. But when you find it, the subject on the original painting has been replaced with figment. And you have to match the sticker of the real painting with the country where you found it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun just finding how they'd incorporated figment into these historical pieces of art.
Yeah.
And some were kind of ridiculous, but in a funny way.
If not anything, it's good for just having to go into the pavilion. I mean, I enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, me too. And I kind of cheated the system a little bit. I know. So it
says, he was the only one.
Well, Aaron tried, but got rejected.
So that lady that was helping us was a little extra from the beginning.
She was. You don't have a stamp on yours. I'll get to that, I guess. So ideally, you're supposed to do the scavenger hunt and then get the prize at the end that you paid for, which is a magnet, a very small magnet. That was 1 inch by 2 inches. Maybe a little bigger than that. But we signed up, got our map, and immediately got to pick which magnet we wanted. So we all got a magnet. Before we even get to the first country, my stickers fell out of my sleeve somewhere. My little plastic sleeve. I have no idea where they went. And so I went to the next station, and I was like, can I get another thing of stickers? Well, she just gave me a whole packet of the map and the stickers. So when we got back, it said on the thing, after you finish the scavenger hunt, return it to this place and they'll give you a magnet. So I went back and, just innocently was like, hey, well, this says to come here. And so she let me pick out a second magnet. And I was like, oh, wow, we got two magnets, guys. So Aaron turns in his and she's like, you have a stamp on yours. That means you already got a magnet. He's like, it was so awkward because we were
how do you pretend no?
Yeah. So we were like, oh, I see now. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But mine didn't have a stamp because I had gotten a new map. So.
Oh, that's right. Because he lost his.
Yeah. So I wasn't trying to cheat the system. It just kind of happened.
That's why the lady asked you 20 questions when you needed a new map.
That is true. When I said my stickers fell out, she was like, well, where did they fall out? I was like,
if I knew that, I wouldn't be standing here.
Exactly. They're right there on the ground, see? But I didn't want to touch them because they're dirty.
Now, how many different magnets are there available?
Four.
Is this worth doing four times to get all four?
I guess if you're a completionist.
Oh. I didn't know if they were that cool.
They're smaller than I thought, like I said, but honestly, I like them.
Yeah, I think they would be cool if they're that small. You could turn them into a pin. I think that would be better.
Oh, yeah. I don't really do pins, though. I do magnets. I'm looking at mine now. You can have one of mine.
Oh, can I?
Yeah, for sure.
Yay.
I got the one where Figment is Mona Lisa.
Ooh.
And I got the one where he is the Screamer.
Yeah.
Which, fun fact that we did not know, I'm going to see if you know it. So the paintings were in the countries where the artist is from. Do you know what country the artist of the Screamer is from?
Who is it? Was that Dali? Salvador Dali, who did the Screamer?
I don't think so.
No.
No? Oh. I'm going to say France?
Nope. It was...
Oh, that would be Mona Lisa. No, Mona Lisa would be Italy. My bad.
Yeah, no. Matt got onto me because I started putting stickers on there before we actually saw them because I'm like,
oh. And he was wrong.
I was wrong. I was like, oh, Mona Lisa, that's in France. I know that.
Well, the painting itself is in France, exactly. But Leonardo da Vinci was from Italy, of course. So.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, I'm going to show you. That's the Screamer.
Oh, yeah. Who painted that? I can't remember.
Like Minch? Something Minch or Munch?
Okay.
Edvard Munch.
Yeah.
So that sounds German. Is he German?
He's Norwegian.
Ooh, I think he's Norwegian.
Norwegian. Oh, really? Okay.
So anyway, I thought they were kind of fun.
Yeah, I'll take whichever one you don't want. I like
you all those. Got it. Coming your way. Let's see. What else did we do for the festival? We saw the paint by numbers. Didn't do it. But Aaron and our friend Ruben did it today, and apparently you get 5 squares to paint because they do not want the mural to be done before noon, you know. So they give you the tiniest little container and say, go pick 5 squares with this number on it. We did the photo ops.
I saw, and I thought they were so fun.
They were fun. Yeah, we put those on Facebook if anybody wants to see those.
I think my favorite is you guys in the boat with Washington. And Derek is just, like, totally chilling.
They're doing all the work. That we did 2 of the 3. The other one was the Screamer, but it was just kind of a lame, in my opinion, kind of a lame background. So we didn't do it. So the final element of this whole Festival of the Arts thing is the music side of it. And every weekend they have these concerts going on. And, of course, last week on this show, I talked to Carrie Butler, who was there when we went. Now, Matt had to leave for this part, so he wasn't able to join. But I had kind of been in touch with Carrie earlier that day, telling her that we were coming to either the 5:30 show or the 8 o'clock show. We weren't sure. And she told me we'll come to the 8 o'clock, and then we'd be able to say hello to her. And so she said, how many of you are there? I'll put your names on a list.
Oh,
which,
wow.
I mean, geek out moment, you know. It was like, okay. So
you're so fancy, and gosh, the Match Hatters, look at us. We now are press.
I tell ya. So she put her names on the list. We got there. I didn't really know where to go, so I just walked right up front where the guy was standing, the guard. And he had a list, like an actual paper list. So I said, it felt so stupid saying this, but I was like, so Carrie told us she was going to put our names on some list, you know, just casually name dropping Carrie Butler. And sure enough, we were on there. So he just put us right there in the second row. I could tell we were sitting by family members of one of the band members. So that was kind of cool because they were excited to see, I guess, their dad play guitar. And so Kevin and Carrie came out. They had obviously some canned, cheesy dialogue, you know, but it was fun. Just kind of playing with each other and
things like what? Give me an example.
Oh gosh, I really can't even remember. It was like I felt like it was puns from their show. Like they would say kind of a piece of dialogue from Newsies or something, but it also referred to what they were doing in that moment. You know, like seize the day. And that wasn't even one of them, but it was stuff like that. You know.
Yeah. Oh, I love Epcot, don't you? In fact, I'll always keep it in my heart. And you know who else is in my heart? You'll be in my heart.
Fortunately, it wasn't between every song. It was just at the beginning. And it was only a 30-minute show. So it was high energy the whole time. Just song, song, song. And they did, you know, every third song would be just one of them singing a solo. And then they would do these duets. And I tell you, you know, Carrie told us that she had never met Kevin before this. Their voices sounded so good together. It was like Disney, I don't know, did their research and like found two voices who they thought would pair well. They killed it. They really did. And I think they did probably 2, maybe 3 songs from each show. So they did sing You'll Be in My Heart from Tarzan. He sang Strangers Like Me, and she kind of did some background vocals.
Oh, wow.
Then they went to Newsies and they sang, I don't remember, but she sang the really, really fast song, the Write What You Know. So they say, all I know is I don't know what to write. Yeah.
The what's her name? Her anthem.
Yeah, what is her name? Catherine?
Catherine, yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah. Gosh, I think this is the one where she said last week that she kind of messed up the words on because she had never heard it before. But she was perfect. Friday night. And when you sit up close and you hear her sing that, like you realize how hard that song is. Because there's just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
Happens. That's the name of it.
That's
Watchmen.
It.
And Watch What Happens.
Yeah. So good. Like, she got a screaming roar after that song. And then they went to Beauty and the Beast, and she sang Home again. Now, she did that on Broadway, so of course it's going to be good. And it was flawless. I can't remember what else they did from that. But anyway, they ended with Aladdin and their final song. They're about to leave the stage, and they kind of did this. Wait, Kevin, where are you going? Because he sang Proud of Your Boy.
Oh, yeah, so good.
I know you love that song. So he sang that, and then he started to walk off and was like, oh, thank you, everybody. And she kind of did a, wait, but Kevin, don't you think we should do one more? And everybody cheers. And well, I mean, I did my, you know, big solo number. I don't know what else you want. She's like, I thought maybe we could do A Whole New World. And so they sang that. Very good.
It'd be better if he was like, nah, and just walks off.
Literally drops the mic and then walks off. So yeah, it was such a great show. The crowd was so into it. They sounded great. It was high energy, and it was just long enough, you know, like no one got bored.
Yeah. Did she give you a shout out from the stage?
Yeah, right.
That'd have been awesome.
She said, we have a special guest today. Derek Lewis. What? Derek, come on up. Come on up. We've got a gift bag for you.
You probably recognize him from his local church production of Aladdin last summer.
I took Kevin's microphone and we sang A Whole New World together. No, but it was great. And there are only a couple weekends left. So if you want to get out there for the next couple concerts, I recommend it. Don't wait.
Huh. So now they're done after this. This was their last weekend?
Yes.
Or this coming weekend is their last one?
No, this was their last weekend. In fact, she tweeted something like, only one more day in the happiest place on earth, wah, or something like that.
And so new people are coming in to continue doing a show.
Yeah, so there are two more weekends, and both weekends are the same couple. I don't know their names.
Is it the same songs, though?
No, because they're doing Lion King, Aida, and I don't remember the other two shows. The other two shows might be repeats.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure. Anyway, so it's a cool thing. Overall, this festival, I love it. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about it. It really, really was a delight and a joy to take part in, and I hope it comes back. I think it will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but back to the concert. Carrie was gracious enough to say hello to us afterwards. We kind of waited back. We kind of waited down there. She, it was kind of dark. And it had been a while, I guess, since we had spoken, you know. And also, I saw her during our chat, but she couldn't see me. Mm. So when she came out, she was kind of like, hi, and was looking at people. I was waiting patiently because I thought other people were there to see her, like family or something. So I was like giving them space. But apparently she was looking for me because she was like, ah, are you Derek? And she was looking at Aaron. And I said, oh, that's me. I'm Derek. And she goes, oh, why didn't you say something? okay, but she was
because
so nice.
I'm awkward. That's
exactly.
Why.
Exactly. I wanted to say that. So she gave me a hug and she said hi to us. She took pictures with us. Ruben had brought the original Hairspray cast recording because she's on it. She played Penny.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so she signed that for him. Was so gracious. And then Kevin came out shortly after. Now, this is kind of funny. So Kevin had been in Nashville the week before. And I had seen him in A Gentleman's Guide. And so I was telling him, you know, we really enjoyed the show. And he said, man, that's so weird that you're seeing me there and here. And I was like, I know, it's crazy. And he said, you look really familiar. Did you come to the stage door in Nashville? And I was like, no, I didn't. He goes, oh, man, you just look familiar. I didn't say it. But I wanted to say, yeah, remember on Facebook, like I sent you a request, see if you maybe wanted to come on the show. And at the bottom of the screen, it clearly said, you read the message, but then you ignored it. That's where you know me from, I think.
That is awkward. You totally should have brought that up.
Obviously, did not say that. All I said was, no, I don't know where that's from.
I mean, we have an agent that books guests for us. We don't book guests ourselves. We're a big deal. We're on people's lists for preferred seating.
Anyway, but he was super nice, took pictures with all of us, and they were both just so, I think they were just really grateful that people came out and that people enjoyed it. And they had so much fun. You could tell.
Totally. I love it. Listen, when they get Nathan Lane and Patti LuPone to do it, then I will be there, front row.
I bet you will. You'd pay money for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for America's favorite segment, Take Five. And this segment is
every time.
I just feel like a whip needs to be there. This is where we throw out a topic or we throw out a hypothetical situation, and we have to use five words to describe it or to just five words about it, usually in a comical sense. Not always.
Thank you.
So here we go. Tonight, top five, we're going to begin with the first topic, which is upcharge events. Derek, five words.
Money, 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 money. Money.
Well, I have to count those. Money, money, money. Okay, you're allowed.
Money, 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 money. Money.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if there's someone in this room who's going to be judging how many words we use, it should not be you.
It is not you. Hey,
as far as I know, let me see. All of mine are within the rules tonight.
Wow.
Ha. Huh.
It's a Christmas miracle. All right, Matthew, your five words about uptown charges. No, what is it?
Upcharge events.
Upcharge events.
Uptown charges. Grab ankles, grit teeth. Ready?
Yours goes perfectly with mine because mine are lube and bite stick extra.
Oh my.
All right, moving on quickly. Wall carpet. You know, particularly Epcot is known for their wall carpeted cues. So, Matt, why don't you start this time?
When you know you're home.
Aw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want some spectacular wall art, go to the waiting area for Circle of Life, but then leave before watching Circle of Life.
You mean wall carpet?
What'd I say?
Wall art.
Yes, wall carpet. But it's art.
Yeah, it is art.
It's
true.
Wonderful. Okay, my five words. The future eerily resembles 1981.
My five words, does it match the drapes?
For some reason, I knew you were going to do that. Oh, man.
It's easy go-to. Okay.
Wall carpet, that kind of just kind of, that's this kind of a seamless transition to the carpet.
It really is. It really is. I used to work with a girl that was like that.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
All right, next five words. Motto for potential future world overhaul. The motto for the future, potential future world overhaul. I'm going to start this time. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Marvel Universe Land.
No.
As you know, it's going to happen.
Okay, someone explain this to me. The motto, is this like while they're doing construction?
Yeah, this is like what's on the posters and what they say on opening day of the overhaul and kind of the vision.
Datazu.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, in that case, mine, I'm kind of proud of. And it's not funny, but I can totally see them using these five words. Because it's a quote from the best attraction in Future World. See you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to say that. With Judi Dench's face on it, like waving. Mm. Photoshopped in front of Spaceship Earth.
You know, you really built that up.
Yeah, you really did.
Oh,
you gotta be careful when you build things up sometimes.
It's true.
Mine is This is the motto for the potential future world overhaul. Eh, the past was better.
I hope not.
That says a lot.
Mm. Well, I mean, and as in so much as, you know, retro vintage stuff is coming back and all that, they're like, well, yeah, let's just go back and just sit in the past.
Yeah, what it's actually going to be is we hated Mission Space 2.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it. Sorry, it didn't work out for you. People died. It sucked, you know.
Oh.
Okay, next is five words about Pizza Rizzo, the newest Muppet-themed restaurant in Walt Disney World.
To go with all the
Among all the others.
I knew y'all had something smart to say.
I'll go first, because it's not very good. Rat-infested NYC. Eat here. Because it's like themed just to New York. Like, there's no Muppets theme.
Yeah, right. I'll go next, because mine matches that. It says, droppings in corner are theming.
Mine is in relation to its predecessor, Pizza Planet. Same thing, not as fun.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, there's no arcade games, and it's
true.
Minimally themed pizza restaurant, so...
What about still birds flying in ceiling? Okay, next five words topic. Suggested titles for Joe Rohde's memoirs. So eventually Joe Rohde's going to write a book, his autobiography. We would like to suggest a title for it. Matthew, go ahead.
Well, it turns out there's nothing really that extraordinary about his life. It's just been so well themed, we thought it was extraordinary. So the title for his memoir is My Authentically Themed Ordinary Life.
I could see that being legit. Yeah.
I know, for real.
You see the wrinkles on my face? That's chapter 10, how they created the wrinkles on his face.
Mine is simply Joe Rohde Between the Cracks. That's for you, Matt.
I know. Thank you.
All right. You're going to want to go to your local library when this book comes out. It's Jingle Jangle, Jingle Jangle, Africa.
Oh, my gosh.
Library. Because you don't want to pay for it. You just kind of want to read it and then take it back.
All right. In the final category tonight, things that the Donald Trump audio animatronic will say when it reopens in the Hall of Presidents. I'm going to start. Muslim ban at American Adventure.
Official.
Mine is, we hold these truths wrong.
Wrong.
We hold these alternative facts.
Nice. Well, since those were so overtly political, mine will even us out with a nice laugh. Catch me outside. How about that?
And the curtains close.
How about is one word? Because you know they're going to be booing him. And, hey, catch me outside. How about that?
We are so relevant on this show.
Absolutely.
Oh, right.
Always timely.
As you probably are aware, this week is Valentine's Day. Excuse me, next week is Valentine's Day, but the week we're recording this show is Valentine's Day, and we three Mad Chatters have been doing some fan fiction, have been writing some fan fiction lately, and we've been shipping, as the kids are saying these days, certain Disney characters from all over the Disney universe, live action movies, animated movies, audio animatronics in the parks, certain characters that we would like to pair together We would love to see that happen. And so, in honor of Valentine's Day, in honor of the most romantic holiday there is, we're going to each list five couples that we currently are shipping. Now, Matt, I know you've been shipping these, so why don't you go ahead and get us started with your first couple?
Oh, I've been shipping. Honey, I've been shipping. I'm trying to think of what order I want to go in, because I have a good one. I think it's going to be good for number one. So I want to go with, I think, my personal favorite, and that is the larger auctioned-off lady from Pirates of the Caribbean. Nobody wants to buy her, bless her heart. She's
Bertha.
She's out. What?
Bertha.
Okay, Bertha. Nobody wants to buy her. She's large. Auctioneer can't get rid of her, and she's probably lonely. She's clearly, you know, doing her best. Her facial expression says, I'm doing my best to to be in the sex trafficking industry here. And she's just so lonely. And there's someone else who's lonely. And he plays the organ in the Haunted Mansion. And he's a loner. He's been weird all of his life because he plays the organ. And now he's dead. Mm-hmm. So that's even worse. And so I feel like those two could find love together. Bertha and the organ guy.
Wow. Does he still have to pay for her?
No, they love each other.
Of course. Yep. Of course.
He's gone out and he's redeemed her. He's bought her back.
Yeah, Shaba. In fact, I think we might have just found the storyline for my Pirates/Haunted Mansion crossover movie. What did I call it?
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Pirates of the Caribbean? Something?
No. Grim Grinning Pirates.
There you go. I actually like Ghost Pirates now.
Okay. Forget what I said.
Yeah.
Say, speaking of Ghost Pirates, did you all see the ad for Pirates 5?
Yes.
During the Super Bowl?
I don't think I even liked the imagery and stuff was okay. But it was when they started playing the song, I'm like, oh my. And then Johnny Cash started singing Ain't No Grave. I was like, yes, this is perfect.
It is very, it does seem very dark. Like, it has a very dark tone to the whole feel.
I'll have to check it out. I assume it's on YouTube by now.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Okay.
Is it my turn to go?
Sure, let's do it.
I've been shipping as well. They don't call me Cupid just because I look cute in a diaper, folks. It's because I'm pretty good at putting them together. So my first pick, you know, what brings a couple together better than common interests? Am I right?
Yes.
And so I was thinking about those seven dwarves. And Sleepy, he has something in common with Aurora, Sleeping Beauty. Oh. And so I'm going to ship Sleepy with Aurora.
So it doesn't matter that they're already in relationships. This is like, get away from the prince and Sleepy is your guy.
Yeah, or maybe like the prince died, you know.
Hmm.
Hey, by the way, this is a real thing. If you really want to be disturbed, Google Disney shipping or whatever, and there's fan art. It's really...
Oh, my.
I discovered a whole underground thing I don't know I needed to be exposed to today.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Matt, you asked if they, it's okay if they're already in relationships. I haven't really dived into fan fiction yet, but the little things I hear... Usually both of the people are already in a relationship, but people write entire stories putting them together with each other. It's crazy.
Well, I've stuck with single people all day, so I mean, presumably.
Well, that's okay. We promote monogamy on this show.
Yes.
Yes.
Do we? Oh, okay. I didn't know we had an official stance as a show on that. Sorry.
It's on our statement of faith. On the
webpage. If you go deep into our website, you'll find our mission statement somewhere there.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first couple on my list, I'm just going to get out of the way because it's pretty obvious. I mean, the sexual tension you could cut with a knife. And I'm talking about Dr. Marsh and Dr. Seeker. It's like, when are those two just going to hook up already?
Ah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's forbidden love because it's like the employee-employer relationship.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they're already in a relationship, but they're trying to, like, cover it up by being, you know, quote-unquote, annoyed with each other.
I also, now, I was scared off by the employer-employee relationship, so I went with someone that's a little more Dr. Marsh's age, because I went for Dr. Marsh, too. I think she seems like a nice lady who needs a nice man in her life. Hmm. And I went with Dr. Nigel Channing.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's weird.
She deserves better than him.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with Nigel Channing. There's things wrong with the way he has been utilized. come on, Eric Idle. He's classy.
Would you guys believe that I have Dr. Marsh on my list as well?
Oh, my word.
That's funny. Except there's something going on with us and Dr. Marsh.
Well,
Freud would have a field day.
I was going to say, we're trying to get her away from Bill Cosby. But I will not say that.
They shipped him out of Walt Disney World, honey. They shipped him out back to Arkansas. Wherever he came from.
Well, I have shipped Dr. Marsh with Gary Sinise over at Mission Space. I feel like they are just a very, like, they would be an Epcot power couple.
Yeah.
They would. They would be, like, the face of Epcot.
They would. They totally would. But you know what? I feel like if this was a movie, like a Lifetime movie, she would not be happy with Gary Sinise. And Martin Short would swoop in and win her over.
Hmm.
With his frivolity.
Yes.
I can see that. Because Gary Sinise, as much as he has going for him, does not have a sense of humor. At least not in that Mission Space video.
No personality. Literally, he has no name.
Literally zero personality. Yeah, that's
well, great. When has Gary Sinise... I don't think I've ever seen Gary Sinise show anything other than that same character, that, you know, that same... Like,
that squinty-eyed, thinking real hard.
It's kind of like Bill Paxton. He plays the same character in every movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
there's a tornado coming.
I'll fight for Dr. Channing, because he's a little absent-minded. He's a little loose. And I wouldn't say wacky. He doesn't quite have it all together.
Right.
Yeah, he's unorganized, I guess. He's not like he's silly. But then after he meets Figment, you know, his life is different. So he's fun-loving and carefree and sings songs now. And he needs a little balance in his life. And I feel like that tight, button-down burgundy blazer Dr. Marsh is in will just do the trick.
Oh, I can see it. Okay, well, I'm going to take us away from the parks for a little bit and talk about two characters that are so meant to be. So if you remember, Carl Fredrickson on Up lost his wife. And he kind of turned a little bit grumpy after all that happened. So he needs a sweet, fun-loving woman. And he also was unable to have children. So he needs a woman who already has a child. Who better than Mrs. Potts?
Oh.
In human form, obviously.
I kind of got to see that. Oh, see, and then here we go again. Because I was thinking, well, she's already got Maurice. Because they were kind of eyeing each other at the end of the movie. But it doesn't matter. Maurice died. He's dead.
Well, or they just realized they're not compatible.
Right. He's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy old Maurice.
Yeah, when you've been a teapot for 20 years, that has an effect on your mind.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I have Maurice on my list as well. I feel like we're all swimming in the same pool here.
Wait, but Maurice wasn't on my list.
Oh.
It was Carl Fredrickson and Mrs. Potts.
Close enough. You took her from him, and now Maurice needs somebody.
Exactly.
Well, I got somebody for Maurice. Can I share this now?
Yes.
We're here. You know, Maurice, living in that small provincial town, he didn't really get to see the world out there. But he did a little traveling after Belle became a princess because they got some monies. And he went to visit the bayou down there in Louisiana. And he fell in love with Mama Odie. And so,
that's funny.
You know, I've said it for years. In fact, it's a needlepoint hanging in my bedroom. It says, old people need loving too. And so, there you go.
You know what? I think they did hook up, and that's the couple who's in The Princess Bride. Like, that crazy old couple.
Yeah.
There you go.
Billy Crystal.
Huh. Except she, like, turned into an old white woman.
Well, yeah. Obviously, as one does.
As Okay. Happy Black History Month.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of Black History Month, Star Tours, C-3PO. C-3PO, perhaps the loneliest character in all of fiction history. Is that an overstatement?
No, he needs to get laid.
I mean, he's got R2-D2, and I don't want to know what those two do when the lights are off in the droid room, but... I want to put C-3PO with Ali Sansan, the little pre-show hostess for Star Tours. Cause she's,
I can see that.
Yeah, she's a little more...
is she still there?
Friendly and kind of normal. Yeah.
Oh. Allison Janning does the voice?
No.
You know, she blinks her eyes and she says... And she flips into Spanish.
Oh, that's who you're talking about? The Allison Janney character?
Yeah, Ali Sansan.
Oh, okay. I thought Ali Sansan was part of the old show. Never mind. Go ahead.
No. Well, now look. Now there's Black History Month for you. Whatever her name was in the old pre-show, that too. Except he's a robot and she's a human. I was kind of trying to go for the same species. Yeah, who cares? Ali Sansan. Yeah, she's a little more fun-loving and free than C-3PO, but she's also very smart and obviously bilingual. English and Spanish. You know, that goes well with his 15 different protocol languages he speaks.
I can really see this. It's kind of like a Sheldon Cooper, what's-her-face, Blossom.
Amy. Yeah, Blossom. Yeah, Amy Harper Hip Hop. What's her last name?
Amy Hip Hop.
Amy.
That's it. I thought it was like...
Farrah Fowler.
Farrah Fowler, yeah.
Yes. Okay, I'll go next. I like Kronk a lot. He's one of my favorite Disney characters. And he needs a good love in his life because I think someone would be lucky to have him. But the girl can't be too smart because Kronk's not all that smart. Like, he would just drive her crazy. And she kind of needs to be a little dependent. Like, she needs a man who will cook for her and reach things on the top shelf for her. All of a sudden, it clicked. I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of proud of this one. Charlotte from Princess and the Frog, Tiana's blonde friend.
Ooh, yeah.
Who's a little ditzy. Like, I can totally see her and him being on, like, meeting on The Bachelor or something.
Mm. And she would like him because he's, like, big and muscular, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They would hit it off, and he would, you know, cook for her and pamper her. And they would just be a fun couple to hang out with.
I can see that.
Maybe. Yeah, they feel like they'd be more of an outdoorsy, let's go hunting in our pickup truck kind of couple. But yeah, if you want to hang out with them, yeah, that's fine.
Well, that's what I do on the weekends, Matt.
That's right. I know it. Don't you know I know it?
Huh. Interesting. I like that. You know, what brings a couple together sometimes is their deep-rooted childhood issues. And when I think, deep-rooted childhood issues, I think of Lewis from Meet the Robinsons.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He's always looking for his mom. He's got mommy issues. Am I right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know who is seen as a mother figure? Wendy Darling.
Oh, girl.
And so I'm going to put Lewis and Wendy together. And I think they would be cute together.
Huh.
Hmm.
I would need to see that movie. I can't picture it.
What, Peter Pan?
Because I feel like she would treat him like someone she's babysitting.
That's what he needs. It's weird.
No, not not Peter Pan. A movie with them together.
Oh, you need... okay, I see. She is very condescending.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. That's okay.
He'd like that.
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time picking between my fourth and fifth or second and first. I'm just going to go with this one because I think the last one's going to be like, oh. And get you one of those good old Southern Belle hens from Splash Mountain finale. You know, they're excited. They're singing. They obviously have a lot of down-home folk spirit about them. and you just pick one, any of them, and just go on over to Liberty Square and pull out Sam Eagle from the Muppet Show. And I mean, there's a traveling little American evangelist couple right there. He preaches, she sings with a tambourine. And they're just happily ever after.
No, I'm just picturing her doing her thing, and he's like, stop that. Stop that now.
It's always good to sing about America.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's really funny.
And they're both birds.
Right, I got that. I got that. So it's anatomically correct.
Yes.
My fourth pick is going to be a pairing of Fairy Godmother with Merlin.
Yes.
Ooh, right? I love it.
Right? They would be so quirky and zany. And I know they would love each other, but they would also be like so absent-minded
and
all
so
the
cute.
Time. And adorable.
Yes. Yeah.
This should be a thing.
It
really should.
Like, honestly, it would kind of make sense if they met, maybe not, but met together right behind the castle, because there's a sword in the stone right there by the carousel, and she's obviously connected to Cinderella Castle. I would totally meet them together. I would pay money to meet them together.
Mm-hmm. Aw, that's adorable, now that I think about it.
I know.
You know, this kind of reminds me of when we were at Disneyland, and some characters came out and started meeting and greeting there in Fantasyland. Do you remember that, Derek? And I was getting my picture with Frollo. And out of nowhere, the Queen of Hearts walked up right behind us and joined the picture. And it kind of blew my mind, because I'm really big, like, a freak when it comes to characters, like, stepping outside of their universes together.
Yeah.
I don't know why, they just thrilled me. And now I think about it, like, they would be cute together.
Yeah, I was really trying to figure out a villain pairing, but my mind always went the opposite direction. But I feel like there are some villains that would make for some good, if maybe a little evil couples, you know,
totally.
Like destroy the universe type evil, but it's all right.
Yeah. Well, my last couple is Scrooge McDuck. You know, he has everything in the world. He's got money, he's got power, he's got fame, but he doesn't have a love of his life. And I want to stay in the species as well. And so I think that Scrooge McDuck would be perfect with Lady Cluck from Robin Hood.
Yes. Even like the same accent.
That's true. They're both from the motherland. That's not Scottish.
Yeah.
But they're both from across the pond. So, you know, it'd be cute.
Okay.
I feel like she's got enough attitude to keep Scrooge in line as well.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't see her a lot. He just goes and makes the money. She spends it.
She probably needs a breast reduction.
She, I feel like she would like tell lies on Mrs. Beakley to get her fired because she doesn't like her.
Yeah.
Can I get a bonus real quick? Mrs. Beakley and Duckworth. I mean,
ooh. I mean that's probably happening anyways.
In the broom closet. That was a little bonus. That was a fast pass. My number one, I'm pretty excited about. I'm not even going to explain it. I'm just going to say it. Sunny Eclipse and Gertie the Dinosaur.
This is like Donkey and Dragon on Shrek.
Exactly,
right? How did that happen?
But he's clearly reptile-like.
That is true.
So it's not like it's not a terrible bend of the imagination. This is lots of love.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and shout out, I don't know if y'all saw the Super Bowl halftime show last night, but Lady Gaga did a tremendous job. But her keyboardist was in like a circular keyboard.
Some
photoshopped Sunny Eclipse in that.
Yes, awesome. That's great. I didn't see the Super Bowl because I was in Magic Kingdom, but anyway. Okay, so my number one pick, you know what? I remember writing this down and being so proud of it, and now looking back, I don't know if this makes sense, but I'm going to say it. Mary Poppins, who we all know and love, and she's British, no nonsense, but also, obviously, as we see in her relationship with Bert, likes for someone to make her laugh. You know, likes to have a good time every now and then. I think she would go great with Dreamfinder from Epcot.
Oh, yeah.
He's British, right?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
More like transatlantic New Jersey.
Okay. But I think they're both they're both very intelligent, and they both like, you know, whimsical, imaginative things.
Yeah, but she can say that, oh, that's enough.
Right. Don't bring your friend Figment over here anymore. I will not have any of that nonsense.
That's right.
Yeah.
But really she's saying, I love nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Because she's deep like that.
Yeah.
Now, Bert might get a little jealous because I feel like he's got a little thing for Mary. But...
he's a chimney sweep. There's no hope for them.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mary and Dreamfinder. There you go. I assume he has a real name, but...
Clark.
Probably. That checks out.
Love. Love will keep us together.
And with that, I will wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you all have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And we hope you'll tune in next week to another episode. But until then, you can find us on Twitter at Mad Chatters, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Send your emails to comments at madchatters.net. We'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
I'll miss you all bigly.